Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This satsang, this radio program, is for Sunday, November the 29th, 2015. And I want to remind you that everything that you see on this website, everything that I offer from commentaries, podcasts, videocasts, this radio program, our TV program, it is all supported by those of you who are sponsors. Without your support, none of this, and I mean none of this, could happen. And I hope that you will help us sustain our program by becoming a sponsor. Our mystery donor is matching year-end gifts until January 6th, and I hope that you will help us. This is the only way we can stay on the air. This is the only means we have, and it is through your loving kindness that all of this happens. So if you are enjoying this radio program, and if it means anything to you, please, please become a sponsor. Help us. You get the message of the month next year when I make new programs on the Beatitudes. You will receive the 5-disc series on that. You'll be able to download it from the website here at aspire.org. And there'll be many, many things that will be offered to you for being a sponsor. You get access to my commentaries, podcasts, videocasts, all the things that are really, really deeply important and may serve you very well. Plus, your donation will go out into the world and help others. It is your loving hand that makes all of this possible. And most people just simply don't understand that. They don't get that it's their loving hearts that make all this possible. But for those of you who have the wisdom to understand, I hope you get it. Be a sponsor. Help us, won't you? Or at least make a year-end contribution. All gifts, of course, are tax deductible, and I will send you a receipt for your income taxes. Let's go to the first question. This series of questions is based on the idea of sacrifice. Now, no one wants to sacrifice anything, generally speaking. I mean, I think you can understand that, right? People don't want to sacrifice. They want everything quick, fast, easy, and with the least amount of effort, because we're so busy gathering around the TV or doing whatever we're doing to entertain ourselves, we would never think of giving up any moment of that. So indulgence is a very big thing to most people. And that's why I chose these three questions. They have come to me over the past 8 months. So you kind of know what's going on. First one's from Carrie in Los Angeles. How much is expected to be sacrificed in the practice that you teach? It seems that everything you do seems to have a price tag to it. How much am I going to pay to be enlightened, Carrie? Carrie, we kind of answered this yesterday, but I chose to do this again. You're going to pay your whole life. Everything you and I have ever done, it's going to be paid for. And what I mean by that is not that you're going to be punished or hated or whatever, but everything that we do in the course of a spiritual practice is to become less and less and less, so the more can take over. People who have questions like this, basically, Carrie, are not ready for the way at all. They don't see the futility of the way they've lived. They don't recognize what is going on. They don't get it. You don't get it. Anything that you would give at this point in your life would be, in a way, to kind of, what do I want to say, pay back for all of your skepticism, fear, hatred, justified, rationalized, your cruelty. And the donations you would make, though you get a tax deduction for them, for like going to a workshop or a retreat or getting meditations, that's all tax deductible. That money goes out to serve humankind, to pay for airtime, to pay for this radio program that you're listening to right now. So your concern about money and return and what you're going to get for it is kind of behind all of this. How much is expected to be sacrificed? If you give a gift and for you it's a sacrifice, you're not ready for this experience called love. You're not ready for this experience of being in an authentic spiritual practice. People think they can come and go. Oh, I need it now. Now I don't. Thanks for helping me, Greg. Bye. Greg, I need your help so badly. I need your help so badly. You know, people come and go and come and go and come and go. But the difficulty of it all is that you don't use the practice to get what you want. And this is the bottom line of what you're saying. So how much do you have to sacrifice? You're going to have to sacrifice time. Time you would spend being idle. Time you would spend being foolish. Time you would spend being entertained. Time you would spend just not even seeing the beauty of your own life or the meaning of your own existence. That's what you'd be paying for there. Okay? That's a big part of it. Time. You'd have to kind of eke away some time for your practice. The next thing is you're going to have to find some time to be devoted. And that means that during the day, instead of just going through your day like Carrie would go through a day, you're going to be mindful of how Carrie goes through the day. There's a lot of insult that occurs. I mean, a whole lot of insult, a whole boatload of insult. You're going to be surprised at how cruel and wrong you have been, you know, against the grain of love and the bigger picture. Culture, society has nothing to do with compassion, love, and forgiveness. Absolutely nothing. So you're going to find out that a lot of this experience that I'm talking about to you right now is involved in your life, and you're going to have to start seeing what it is you're doing that makes your life the way it is. Now, when you start seeing that, you're not going to be a happy camper. And most people do not have the endurance to really get through that aspect. They don't have that endurance at all. What they are going through is that they want the practice to be in addition to their usual self-righteousness and their cruelty. I mean, you're looking at yourself, probably comparing yourself to others and thinking, well, I can't be that bad. I can't be that wrong. It can't be that harsh. I can't be that. I have every right to think this, and I have every right to do that, every right about this. So you have all that going on inside your head. You do. And as long as that keeps going on in your head and you keep thinking the way you are, what can I do? You'd have to sacrifice so much. I don't know how old you are. You don't tell me here, but believe me, it would be huge for you. And the fact that you even bring this up tells me that your question, I think, is more curious than it is sincere. I don't think you're looking for an authentic practice. I think you're looking for the least likely way of getting it, likely in your ego, your vanity, your pride, not really seeing it for what it is. And, you know, am I willing to, you know, pay for the nebulous? And am I willing to pay for what I don't know is going to happen? A student of mine cannot be the average student, the average person. They can't. Because what I am offering is not average. What I am offering is transformational. You have to be able to go through the fires, passing through the fires. And if you're not willing to do that, and I did that whole series for you on Aspire, you can go look at it here on the website, passing through the fires. If you're not willing to go through that, then this is just philosophy and religion for you. And that won't benefit you at all. Carrie, you're going to pay a lot. You're going to pay for your whole entire life and all the cruelty that is involved in that. And if you're worried about, you know, how much it would cost to come to a workshop or how much it would cost to, you know, go to Mount Madonna with us or how much it costs to be a sponsor or whatever, you're missing it. That's not what this is all about. This is about a much bigger picture, a much more broad picture. This is about life, love, and the bigger picture of living in a world that definitely is spiritual, but the mechanism of it is definitely not spiritual. It is political, social, has a lot to do with economics. What I'm talking about is physics. I'm talking about love, kindness, the principles that make love and kindness possible in our world. It's a much bigger picture. What can I say to you, Carrie? When you're ready, when you're done with these kind of questions and asking, you know, how much is it going to cost? Even Jesus talked about it. Man came to him and said, you know, what do I have to do to be a follower of yours? And Jesus talked to him and said, you know, you've got to weigh the cost. He said, even a businessman knows this, and I'm paraphrasing it, obviously. He said, if you're going to build a tower, you got to know how much it's going to cost and what's at stake here. And then he talked about the whole idea of what's at stake in entering into a practice that brings about authenticity of spirit, of love. Many are called, he said, but few have chosen. And he is right. Everybody's called to this work one way or the other, but very few people ever choose it. You're too convoluted. Don't worry about it. Life will straighten you out. Believe me, it will. It did me. It does others. You'll get it eventually in some lifetime or another. And then these questions won't mean anything. Only going towards the light will mean anything to you. I know this probably is confusing and doesn't, you don't think it helped you, but I hope it did. And please forgive me. Namaste. People think, oh, I understand what he's saying. I get what he's talking about. Oh, that's nothing. Try doing it. Just try. I think you're going to find it most interesting. All right, the next one comes from Ted. He does not tell me where he lives. I make my decision based on return. Basically, I'm saying to you, what will be my return if I sacrifice or invest in a spiritual practice as you speak about? Ted. Ted, I don't offer strategy. This isn't about being strategic. This isn't a business deal you're in. When you enter into an authentic spiritual practice, it is not a business deal. It isn't about, this is how much I'm going to give and this is how much I'm going to get. It isn't about that at all. It isn't about any of that at all. So for you to think that that's what this is all about is a utter delusion and illusion on your part. The person who comes into the practice can see the futility of their way. They see how cruel they've been in their self-righteousness. They see that they are no better and no different than anyone else on this planet. And the sacrifice isn't a sacrifice. They're willing to give up their foolishness, their pride, their vanity. They're willing to give up the time they would have spent doing other silly things in their life for the sake of maturing into a spirituality that has no name. Spirituality doesn't have a name. There isn't the spirituality of a thisa or a thata in this world. When you're entering into the spiritual liberation of a person's life, it has no title, it has no name. It is not about anything. When you enter into an authentic spiritual practice, the sacrifice is not a sacrifice. The sacrifice that you are calling it is more a release. Remember, for everything you cling to, for everything you think is so important and right, for everything that you bargain for in your life, one way or another, that you think has put you ahead in this world or made you a better person or whatever, is going to be the obstacle you're going to have to face through your practice. An obstacle that has created in your life more and more disappointment and difficulties. You just don't know it yet. It hasn't dawned on you, but it will. I promise you, it will. And then you'll start looking at your life from a very different point of view. Instead of looking at your life from the point of view of self-righteousness and thinking there's a right way, a wrong way, a good way, a bad way, that there's some God above you that is judging you and wants you to do things a certain way and has never explained that to you when you came into this world, you will start to realize that it's the way of the heart. Love is difficult for people. Real love. Human love. Very easy, very simple, but real love, the love of your authentic heart, not your generic and genetic heart, but your authentic heart is totally different. In that throb, in that heartbeat, there is the meaning of everything that you are. You have meaning. Ted, you have deep, profound meaning. But we have become so calloused by our gratifications, calloused by other people's opinions, calloused by what we think we see and how we judge what we see and come to conclusions about what we see that we miss the whole entire thing called our life. We just miss it. So it is important for you and for me to never miss that. You make your decisions, you say, based on return. Well, that may work in the world, and that may make you a rich person eventually. I don't know. But it's not going to help you in this practice. People who are in this practice are led by the heart, not by what they hope to get. They realize the limits of human, frailty. They realize the limits of human ambition and pride. They realize there must be something else, that there is something else. And rather than going through the motions of pretending that they know, they search and they seek. And the searching and the seeking comes to them. At first, people are, I have questions. Then when they realize their questions are foolish, I don't have questions anymore. When the questions are no longer there, when I am willing to sacrifice my questions for the sake of what is occurring right now, happening already, that is when I come into the meaning of my life, the significance of my living, the beauty of what this is really all about. Until then, I have nothing. Until then, there is nothing. Until then, there is only what appeals to my thinking. And what appeals to my thinking is not what is true. Because my thinking belongs to my emotionality. And the more emotional I am about anything, the more right I might think I am. People believe that passion brings reality. Passion brings truth. It doesn't. It doesn't. When my passion eats me up, whether it be the passion of something wonderful that happened to me, so I think, or something terrible that happened to me, so I believe. In those two things, I become lost and afraid. No one ever took you, Ted, and sat you down when you were little and said, honey, there's more to this life and there's more to you than what you can think. And explored that. In very simple and beautiful ways. It could have been done through art. It could have been done through meditation. There's lots of ways to teach children the way of the heart, kindness and love. And at first, they have to be taught, most of us. And then later, it can be caught. And you start to understand what this is really all about. So my dear one, Ted, I don't know who you are, where you live, but you're going to have to make your decision based on return, a thing of the past. Until there is no decision, no weighing of what is going to happen if you do this and don't do that, until you are willing to see the bigger picture and open yourself up to it, All you will have is the strategy of your thinking, and that will not be enough at all to do anything truly meaningful in your life. Nothing. So go on ahead. I like what Lao Tzu said, wear out, become new. I totally agree with that. Wear out and become new. I hope that helps you, although I fear it won't. Please forgive me. Namaste. You know, while I'm doing these radio programs, I realize I'm losing people right and left when I'm talking to them. They have no capacity to understand what I'm talking about because their whole life is this small box of getting, giving a little or paying, and then getting. The whole idea is bargain. Get more than what you paid for. Get more than what you can give. And with that mentality, which is a whole mentality, there is no possible way to understand the nature of all this. Just none. Alex is the last question. Can a person have it all, family, money, job, children, and still be in a spiritual practice? Or must I sacrifice all of that? Alex, I don't know what your karma is. I would have no idea. Everything's in proportion to my karma. How I look at my karma, how I live with my karma, how I deal with my karma, everything is in proportion to my karma. Everything. So here's the deal. If I understand what my karma is, if I'm aware, now, what does that mean, being aware of my karma? Being aware of the kind of lifestyle I live, how I relate to my emotionality, my impulses, how I use my mind to hide my emotions and impulses. When I understand my karma, that I am here for specific purposes that have to do with awakening to karma itself and what it is, the nebulousness of it to the mind, that is when I understand my life. When I really understand my life. Until then, I do not get it. I do not understand it. I live in a fog inside myself where I don't come to grips with anything. So I use family and friends and food and money and sex and power and whatever else I can find to appease me, to make me feel better about myself, to make everything in my life more goodest. And if I'm comfortable and I have everything I want and I'm emotionally secure, then I think I have everything I need in order to sustain my mischief and I'm doing the right thing. This is the way people think. I must be doing the right thing if good things are happening to me. What most people don't see is those good things turn sour very quickly. And they are the seeds of our karma. And they keep coming and coming and coming. So don't think because you have good things happening to you or that you want family, friends, and all the stuff you mentioned, the accoutrement of social living in this world, that you've made it. It has nothing to do with any of that and none of that. What it has to do with? What Buddha said. See how you love. And what keeps you from the journey. Until you are able to see how you love, which is your karma, you will not understand why you face the things you face and why the things happen the way they happen. They don't happen to reward us or punish us. Everything in my life occurs as a way to reveal the truth of me, the essence of me. And it isn't about hardship or comfort and ease and convenience. It's about the way I love. The way I love myself in and through anything that I am facing. It is sitting there and loving the weeds in my garden. It is about accepting the imperfections of my body, the imperfections of my friends, the imperfections of my living. It is about seeing the bigger picture and wanting nothing with all of my heart in order to cure it. We all get exactly what we are. No, not who we are, what we are. And the who made the what. And until I understand that, until I am aware of that, I will never awaken to anything more than just my ideas and my ideals. And that won't be enough to awaken. That won't be enough to move forward in my life. I hope that helps you, Alex. May it serve you well. And please forgive me, won't you? Namaste. Well, if you ever have a comment, a question, or something I can serve you with, please don't hesitate to come to the website at aspire.org. And up at the top, you will see contact. Just click on it. Send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. I really would. And if you don't want me to use your name or your location, I won't. It's your question that matters the most. Have a beautiful weekend. And please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.